Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the book of Mark, the 12th chapter, we read of several matters concerning Jesus. We read about his teaching the parable of the vineyard that was let out to the unthankful husbandman. When time came to receive the fruit of the vineyard, the husbandman caught the servants and beat them and sent them away empty. More servants were sent, and they were also rejected. Finally, the son of the owner of the vineyard was sent. But the husbandman killed the son and took the inheritance for themselves. Now the theme of the parable was applicable to the way the Jews were treating Jesus. They were rejecting the stone that was to be the cornerstone. They were mistreating the Son of God sent unto them by the Father. And as the chapter continues, we read of various questions that were asked of Jesus, mostly to tempt him and trying to find fault with whatever answer he gave. One question was, which is the first commandment of all? Mark 12, verse 28. Now, while the motive behind the question is not revealed to us, we can suppose that it may not have differed from the evil motives that were behind the other questions that are recorded here. A parallel account of this question is found in Matthew 22, and the answer Jesus gave is recorded in Mark 12, 29 and 30. Jesus said, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment." Now, 2 points spring from the foreground in his answer. The first, people must give themselves completely to the service of God. Whatever this demands is what is required. And 2, Jesus reveals that we must certainly give ourselves completely to God's service. He does not require that which we cannot do. As we study, it is our intent to provoke us to want to give ourselves completely to God's service and to learn what that means, being aware that such is not only required, it is expected, and it is possible. The Lord said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind." The mind refers to the intellect of man. That's the heart of man. It is that part of man that thinks. We probably do not realize how important what we think really is. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 tells us, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." It is not that we are what we think we are. We are what we think. Our thinking determines what we really are in the sight of God, who knows the mind of man. It should go without having to greatly be emphasized that we need to think on those things that are harmonious to the will of God. But we can know the will of God only by studying the Scriptures. The noble people of Berea searched the Scriptures daily to see what was so, Acts 17:11. And we are directed, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We're told to hold fast the faithful word which has been taught, that we may exhort and convict the gainsayers by sound doctrine, Titus 1 and verse 9. Friend, unless we know what the will of God is, we cannot speak the things which become sound doctrine, Titus 2 1. Our thoughts should be on things that are true and honest, things that are just and pure, things that are lovely and of good report, Philippians 4 and verse 8. But we do not stop in our service to God with only an intellectual understanding and a meditation upon His Word, lest our religion be only cold and formal and ritualistic and lacking in the sincerity that is expected. The Lord also said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Sometimes the Bible uses the word heart in the sense of the mind of man, but obviously, Inasmuch as both terms are being used here, there's some distinction between the mind and the heart in this passage. And in this passage, the heart refers to the feelings of man, his emotions. With the heart, man loves. David is an example of a man who loved God with all of his heart. And as one reads the Psalms, especially the 100th Psalm, this becomes quite evident. There was great emotion within David as he thought on God. Oh, it is to be regretted that people will go to the extreme, first one way and then the other, in matters of emotion and religion. Some lose control of themselves and they act in mannerisms that are very unbecoming to a Christian. And while others are so fearful of demonstrating any emotion at all, that they appear to be uncaring and cold and hard of heart. The religion that overemphasizes the feelings is sure to lead one astray. Feelings are sometimes considered as evidence of what is true. This is a glaring deception. What one believes is true will affect one's emotions. But one can have emotions and feelings of various kinds, but they are not evidence that what he believes is true necessarily. When we obey the commandments of our Lord, we are showing our love for him in a way that he directs. If ye love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said, John 14:15. When we do obey, and thereby have knowledge of our relationship with the Lord, it is not unusual that this has an effect on our emotions. The emotional side of man is most unreliable guide, however. When our feelings become the basis of our service to God, rather than what the Word teaches, we will be led to do what makes us feel good more than what God approves. But on the other hand, knowing we have done that which God approves does make us feel good, doesn't it? But emotions follow obedience and are not to be relied upon as evidence that we have done correctly. Jesus further said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul." Now the soul of man is not easily defined because it is used in different senses in the Bible. Mostly, it is that part of man that is created in the spiritual image of God. It's the spirit of man. While the Bible sometimes speaks of the soul of animals, there it is used with reference to life, animalistic life, that is characteristic of both humans and animals. But the human has a quality that does not coincide with that of animals. Man is a spirit in the spiritual image of God, of which God is the Father. Hebrews 12:9. Sometimes the word psyche, translated soul, is also translated life. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And here the word life is the same word as soul in our text. So the idea of loving the Lord with all thy soul is that we're to love God to the full measure of life, the full capacity of our existence. There should be nothing about life that is not governed and overwhelmed in a love for God. A full and complete submission to him is embodied in this teaching. And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength." And like the other statements, this is still another expression of complete devotion to God. Our strength refers to our talents, our abilities, our energies. Friend, we must be willing to spend and be spent in his service. And this would require that we be not conformed to the world, but we be transformed, following after Christ. For you see, we do not belong to ourselves. We have been bought with a price. We belong to God. The price paid was the blood of God's Son, Acts 20:28. Paul said, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men," 1 Corinthians 7:23. This first commandment, when obeyed, will be the determining factor in everything that we do in life. Love for God will not just be a part of our existence. it will dominate our existence, and it will control every phase of our life. When we become Christians, we should not be merely responding to God's commands, though we are. We're not just running from hell, though we are. We're not just running toward heaven, though that is involved as well. We should be making a complete surrender of our will to His. It must be a commitment that the way of God for man will be the way of life for us. Now this is what loving God with all the mind and all the heart and all the soul and all the strength means, and this is what it includes, and this is what it necessitates. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.